Picket of Lezer, we're up to the 30th chapter, and we've been discussing how Yaakov Avinu went out of Haran. He went out to see his uncle, and there he found his wife. And really, the Picket of Lezer, when we started, we saw in the introduction that Rabbi Lezer, from Picket of Lezer, Rabbi Lezer ben Horkanus, and when he was a kid, his father, even though he was a wealthy person, Horkanus, he didn't educate him. Rabbi Eliezer did not know Kriya Shema. He didn't know benching. He grew up as a Jew who knew nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. And then he wanted to learn Torah. And his father said to him, young man, you're 28 years old. Now is not the time to learn Torah. You get married, have kids, take them to learn Torah. You're not learning Torah at this age. Now is the time to make a parnasa. And Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Eliezer fasted for 2 weeks in sorrow, wishing he could learn Torah and not knowing where to go or what to do, till Elio appeared to him and told him, son of Hyrcanus, if you want to learn Torah, you go up to Jerusalem to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the chief rabbi of the time, which is what Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus did. And the continuation is basically that he became he became the famous Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus. It's not like he got admitted to the academy right away. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, son, what do you want? And Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus said, I want to learn Torah. And he said, what do you know? And he said, I don't know anything. So he said, do you know how to say Birkat HaMazon? So he said, no. Do you know how to pray? No. Do you know how to say Shema? No. So he said, okay, I'll teach you Shema. I'll teach you Birkat HaMazon. And goodbye. And Rabbi Lezer started crying. He said, why are you crying? So he said, I want to learn Torah. So finally, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai agreed that every day he comes and he'll teach him 2 halachot. And Rabbi Lezer, that's how Rabbi Lezer grew, from 2 halachot a day. He reviewed and reviewed and reviewed. And to make a long story short, Rabbi Lezer became the great Rabbi Lezer. He's the first Tana to show up in the Shas. He's the first opinion in Shas Mishnayos. He became the great, great Rabbi Eliezer. Anytime you encounter in the Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, and it doesn't identify which Rabbi Eliezer it is, that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. That's whose words we're studying. And this Medrash is basically revolving around the things he taught. We have other opinions quoted in the Medrash. The Medrash goes in the order of the Torah, but it goes off on tangents the way Midrashim will. The Medrash begins with the story of Rabbi Eliezer and then goes from creation through the Avos, the forefathers, and the stories that are quoted in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer are the stories, many of the Midrashim are the Gersa Biyankos of the Midrashim that many children learn by the Rebbe and Teda. Some of the stuff no one knows, but a lot of the stuff their children will learn, they're going to come home and when they tell you the Parsha, they'll be quoting Midrashim, which are really found in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. So when we learn this, we're making an investment not only in our own knowledge, but also in the knowledge of our children and our capacity to review the parsha with our children. And the Medrash is a relatively easy Medrash. You guys have a Nakuda version. I have one also with Nakudos with a lot of commentaries. Like every Medrash, we need to know that the words of the Medrash have multiple meanings. We have Pardes, Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod. And the depths of the Medrash are really the depths of the understanding of how God runs the world. If you really want to know Jewish Hashkafa, Jewish Emunah, you have to know how to learn Medrash. The secrets of Jewish philosophy are buried in the Medrash. You just need to know the codes, how to decipher them. And that, the greatest rabbis had on tradition. When we read the Medrash, we just see the stories. But we have to know that the stories are fantastic stories that capture our focus, our attention. But there's a lot more depth behind the stories. And we're up to chapter 38, Perek Lamed Ches in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. And the Medrash had been describing Yaakov's life in accordance with the prophet Amos' description of how a person is evading wild animals one after another. The bear, the lion try to kill him. And finally, after he's made it from all these wild animals and he thinks he could come home and take a sigh of relief, he's made it home, he leans against the wall, and out slithers a snake and bites him. And that's a description the Navi Amos gives. And the Medrash says this is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. That's Yaakov Avinu's life. He had to contend with Lavan who wanted to kill him. And then he had to contend with Esau who wanted to kill him. And he made it home back to the land of Israel. He made it out of both of their hands. And in the land of Israel, his daughter is abducted. So that's where the Medrash is holding. Let's begin. Ktiv, the verse says in Amos, Uva Bayit, the person finally comes home. V'samach yado al akir, he leans his hand against the wall. Unshacho nachash. And then the snake bites him. Uchshebay Yaakov leveito beretz achuzato sheberetz Kenan. When Yaakov finally came home to his territory, to the land of Kenan, nishacho nachash, the snake bit him. Ve'ezen nachash, what snake is that? Zeshchem ben Chamor, that is Shchem, the son of Chamor. Shaita vito shel Yaakov yoshevet o'alim. Dina, you know what a pious girl she was. She was a modest girl. Dina was sitting inside the tents. She wasn't going out with the guys. She wasn't partying. Nasa Shechem ben Chamo. But Shechem, he got word that a new girl came to town. So what did he do? Hevi mesachakot ne'arot chutzala metofefot betupim. He hired girls like her, going outside her tent, playing and playing the drums. So Dina sees a modest event. There are girls dancing and playing with drums. Yatza Dina lirot tabanot hamsachkot. She didn't even go out to dance. She just went out to look at the dancers and the drums. And when she got out of the tent, vishalela, so Shechem abducted her, vishachavota, and he slept with her, viharta, and she became pregnant, viyalda et Osnat, and she bore a child named Osnat. Yes.
Snakes are phallic symbols, so it's interesting that it says a snake attacked him when his daughter was sexually assaulted.
Excuse my ignorance. What is a phallic symbol?
Penis.
Ah, really? Okay. I didn't know that. In Tanakh, is that so? I don't know.
I don't know if it's used that way in Jewish law.
I can't remember of a place.
A lot of pagan mythology, it certainly is used as a phallic symbol of a snake,
I don't know.
A snake enters a woman and she gives birth, things like that.
The Gemara discusses that snakes can sometimes have an affinity for a certain woman and things like that, but to say that it's that symbol, I don't know. So Dina becomes pregnant from Shechem, and she has a daughter who is named Osnas. V'amru bnei Yisrael le'orga. So the other tribes wanted to kill the girl. They said she's an illegitimate daughter. Shachav.
Who was it that was? It says wasn't Yaakov that was mentioned as the fellow running from the wild animals. It was someone else, and they said it was.
We say that this verse is a reference also to Yaakov Avinu.
But who was it mentioned?
It doesn't say a specific person. It says just as a person would. Okay. You could look it up in Amos, the fifth chapter. So the children of Israel wanted to kill her. They said, they'll say that our tents aren't pure. They say, look, they're just like everyone else. They have some kids from this husband, there's some kids from that husband. So they have a girl over there. She's the legitimate child. They said, this ruins the whole concept of the Jewish people. Ma'asa Yaakov. Yaakov didn't agree with his kids. Yaakov said, you don't kill the girl for that. Hevitzitz. He brought a tzitz. What's a tzitz? A piece of gold, a headband of gold. V'chatav alav shem hakodesh. And he wrote on that headband of gold God's holy name. V'talal tzavara. And he hung it around her neck. Now she has an amulet to protect her. V'shilcha. And he sent her v'alchala. And she went her way. So it seems like she was old enough to go. So Yaakov sent her off. And there are different midrashim that discuss how'd she get down to Egypt. Somehow she made her way down to Egypt, this girl. V'akol tzafui lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And God was watching. And God sees. And God sees to the distant. And God knows what's about to happen. V'yarad Michael HaMalach. V'orida l'Mitzrayim levito shel Potifera. And he took her down to Egypt to the house of Potiphera. Now Potiphar had a wife. And Potiphar was castrated. Shaita Osnat uyali Yosef liisha, and this girl Osnas was really supposed to be Yosef's wife. technically Dina was supposed to be his wife. But after Dina was abducted by Shechem, so it was ruled in heaven that her daughter Asnas, she would be Yosef's wife. The Shvatim each married a sister. Each one, there are two opinions in Chazal. One opinion is they married girls from Canaan. One opinion is that every Shevet was born with a twin sister. Going with that opinion, there is an opinion that says that Dina was supposed to be Yosef's wife. And what happened was that after this happened with Shechem, so Yosef did not marry her. The Medrash says that Shimon took her in, but Yosef would ultimately marry her daughter, Asnas's daughter, Asnas, the daughter of Dina. Vaita ishto shel Potifera akara. Potiphar's wife was really barren. There are different midrashim as to whether she was barren or he was barren. Vegidla ota kevat. And she raised her as though she was her own daughter. He asked about adoption. Here you have another example of adoption. So this girl was adopted by Potiphar and his wife, and the wife raised her. Uksheirad Yosef leMitzrayim, and when Yosef came down to Egypt, lekachalo, he married this girl. So he looked for a good shidduch. In all of Egypt, there are all black people, and there's one white girl. And she's this adopted daughter of his master. Remember, Yosef was a servant in the house of Potiphar. So... the Egyptians. I'm sorry.
Mom fornicated on the ark, and so he was punished by having his son Kush come out black.
So one major says that all his children were black. One of Ham's children was Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the son of Ham. Maybe there's such a medrash. I don't know. So. Asnas becomes Yosef's wife. When Yosef becomes a minister of Egypt, so Yosef goes back to Potiphar's. I think Rashi quotes that medrash. I think Rashi on the Torah quotes it. Shneimar, as the verse says, Vayten lo et Osnat, but Potiphera kohenon liisha. Paro gave Yosef, Asnas, the daughter of Potiphera, who was the priest of On, to be his wife. So here you see another example, what you asked earlier, here you see another example of the adopted child being called as though he's the biological child. Osnat is referred to in the Torah as the daughter of Potiphar, even though she was really his adopted daughter. Shimon ve-Levi kina'u kina gdola laznut. Shimon and Levi, they were very zealous with regard to adultery. Shenemar, as you find, that they their father said, "What'd you guys do?" And what do they say? Hachizonaya set achotenu. Is he going to treat our sister like a prostitute? V'lakhu yishrobo v'argut kol anshei Shechem. They each took their sword, killed out all the people of Shechem. So, the Medrash seems to side with them. It's interesting because the way the conversation goes is Yaakov comes to them and says, Achaltemoti, you've destroyed me. Look what a danger you've done. How could you do this? What do they answer him? Are we going to let him get away with this? Is he going to treat our sister like that? Yaakov never answers. So you read the conversation. You see, you have the sons. They got very upset. You have the father. He says, what you guys did was terrible. And they tell him something. What were they teaching him? He didn't know what happened. It wasn't his daughter. They're giving him a lesson on how to be pure. He says, what you guys do? They say, are we going to let him get away with this, doing this to our sister? Who wins in the conversation? Who gave in to whom? So at the end of their days, Yaakov tells his kids, you guys messed up. You guys, cursed is your anger, how brazen it is. You see that Yaakov didn't give in. But this medrash seems to go with that who won the conversation? Shimon and Levi. Because the medrash quotes Shimon and Levi's response. It doesn't quote anything other than that. Well, we'll see. It quotes the continuation. But the medrash says, Shimon and Levi, they were zealous. As the verse says, Achizonaya set achotenu. Will he make our sister into a prostitute? V'lachu yishrobo v'argut kol anshei Shechem. So they each took their sword and killed out all the people of Shechem. Uchshishama Yaakov, and when Yaakov heard they did that, nityareh obe meod, he got very scared. Shama, Yaakov said, Achshav yetzu kol ha'me'aretz v'yasfu alai v'arguni. Now all the nations of the land will gather. There's a UN in the world. What happens in the UN? You know, I mean, if there's an excuse to go beat up on the Jews, so everyone gets together and says, no, you're terrible. So Yaakov says, what are they going to do? They'll all get together, all the nations will suddenly unite, and they'll all come and fight me and destroy me. Hitchil mekalel rogzam shel banav. So he cursed their anger. Shenemar, the verse says, Arur apam ki yazvev ratam ki kashata. How cursed is their anger, for it is brazen. How cursed is their wrath, for it is it is tough. Ve'od shekilel et charban, and he also cursed their sword, b'lashon yevanit in Greek, shenemar, as the verse says, kelei chamas mecherotehim, their mecherot. What is mecherot? Shevanim korin lecherev macher. Macher is in Greek sword. He said they have stolen property, their swords. That doesn't belong in our family. Shamu kol malchei haaretz v'nityaru meod. What? Yeah? How do you say it in Greek? Macher. Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting because Chazal say that in Gilad there were a lot of murderers. In Gilad, in the territory of Gilad, there were a lot of murderers. And one of the children of Gilad was Machir. He named his child Machir. There's an area in that territory, in the eastern side of the Jordan, that's called Machir. The area of Machir. Machir, the family of Machir, was given the territory of Gilad. And the Talmud tells us that in Gilad there were many murders. And we see that. In the time of Yoshua. The time of... Yeah. I don't know. You see that Yaakov Avinu used the term. Chazal tells that he used it based on Crete. So Chazal say we have a lot of terms in the Tanakh that Chazal say are from other languages.
But in the Tanakh from Crete? No, I'm saying, like, historically, Mishnah Hebrew was more had influence from Greek.
Yeah, but you do find Yafte Lokim LeYefet, Chazal tells that Greek existed from the time of Noach. That's what Chazal say. That the Greek in the time of the Talmud was adulterated. In the time of Noah, he had beautiful Greek. And then it became adulterated as the generations passed. Right. A little bit after Noah. Okay. Yeah? What does history say about languages? What do you mean? Okay, fine. That's not a contradiction. But that's not a contradiction. There were people around who were talking this language. What in the Talmud's time was called Greek. It doesn't have to be the people in Greece spoke it in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu or Yaakov Avinu. That's not what the Talmud means. The Medrash means what we call Greek, this language. Who spoke it? Okay. Shamu kol malchei haaretz v'nityaru meod. What happened? The nations, all the kings, heard that two kids killed the whole city. Amru, they said, im shnei bnei Yaakov asu hadavar hazeh, if the two kids of Yaakov could do this, im yasfu chulam yochlim nachiv tolam, if they unite, if you have the whole family going to war, they could destroy the whole world. V'nafal tachdosh l'kadosh baruch hu aleihem. So the awe, the fear of God, fell upon all the nations of the land. They recognized, wait a second, God's helping these people. How could two kids do this? Must be, this family is amazing. We gotta be careful with them. Shnemar, the verse says, Vayichitat Elokim, the fear of God was on all the cities around Yaakov. V'lakach Yaakov banav uvnei vanav, v'nashav, v'anach v'kiryat arba etzel Yitzhak aviv. So what does Yaakov do? He takes his children, his grandchildren, his wives, and he goes to Kiryat arba, to his father, to Yitzhak. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. You see that ultimately Hashem gave them extra protection, but you see they needed it. What would have happened had Hashem not done that miracle? You see that miracle was necessary. You don't do things and rely there'll be a miracle. And then you don't judge things based on the end. It's like a person who takes his car and drives off the cliff, and the car rolls over, and he lands, and he walks out okay. He says, you see, nothing too terrible about that. No, it had a good ending. It didn't have to have that ending. That God didn't want them destroyed. I don't know that they were right. God didn't want them destroyed. That doesn't prove they were right. You see, Yaakov didn't give in.
The very act, according to the way he brings the Pasuk, the very act didn't result into a greater fear.
Who says that's positive? Who said it's positive to have fear? You see, that Yaakov was making peace treaties. Avram, Yitzhak, they were making peace treaties. I don't know that fear is a positive thing. It was necessary at that moment. But I don't know that that's a positive thing. Yaakov comes to his father, and he finds Esav and his wife sitting in the tent of Yitzhak. So Yaakov sees they're all there in the tent with Yitzhak. So he sets his tent outside. He's separate. He doesn't want his kids mingling. And this is a mistake that people sometimes make. Yeah, people grow up in an irreligious environment, so they don't care to go to their irreligious environment to bring up their kids. They say, I grew up that way. What's the problem? It's wrong. If you could give your kids a good environment, you're making the greatest investment in the world. You overcame that, and you came this far. Let your kids start higher up. You know the story about the guy who climbed Mount Everest? He plans for 2 or 3 years to climb, and then he makes the trek, and in the winter, and it's tough, and he's climbing, and after weeks and weeks and weeks, he finally makes it to the top, and he made it. You guys know the story? Yeah? He looks out. He breathes the air. Ah. He feels the sweat dripping down his forehead, but he made it. He's looking. He feels like he's on top of the world. He's been waiting for this moment for ages. And he's looking. He's looking around. And after a minute or two of taking in the view and realizing that he's so high up, he hears some noise behind him. So he looks around and he sees men, women, children. He looks at the children, and after all his work, he says, they climbed up to here. Those kids, they climbed up to here. So the people tell him, no, they couldn't make the climb. They were born here. They were born up here. So you guys made the climb. You made it this far. But you could let your kids be born here. Work their way up from here. There's still more to go. A person shouldn't put his kids all the way back down and say, okay, now you guys, I climbed up. You could climb up. We don't do that. We say, let them start at the top of the mountain. Let them work their way up from where I am. And Yaakov comes and he finds Esav and his wives in the tent. So he sets up his tent outside. Let them have a better environment. It's true, Yaakov grew up with Esav. He had no choice, but he doesn't have to give that to his kids. V'ra'i Yitzchak Yaakov et nashav et banav et benotav et kol ashalo. Yitzchak sees his son, Yaakov, with his wives. He sees his grandchildren, his granddaughters. Everything Yaakov owns, v'samach b'libo mod. Yitzchak was very happy. V'alav ha-katuv omer, and about him the pasuk says, u'rei banim levanecha shalom al Yisrael. You'll see children to your own children. Peace over Israel. Who's Israel? Yaakov is Israel. And this is something that sometimes has to be factored in. I mean, people have all kinds of considerations when it comes to their parents. And there are a lot of things to consider, because sometimes parents can ruin a person's chinuch. But if it's at all possible, a person should also factor that the fact that parents see their kids and their grandchildren, that's nachas to them. So that's something to factor. Like Yitzchak, he sees his children and grandchildren. We don't give up chinuch for that. We do have to know how to do it, but we also have to know that that has a certain value. So the Medrash says, Yaakov sets his tent up outside of Yitzchak's tent. And Yitzchak looks on at his son and daughters-in-law and grandchildren, and he's happy. And that's what the pasuk says, Urei vanim levanecha, when you see your children have kids, Shalom on Israel, peace over Israel. Rabbi Levi says, Bishat asifato shel Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was collected to heaven, when he passed away, hiniach et mikneo vet kinyano vet kol asharo lishnei vanav. He left his cattle, his wealth, everything he owned, he left his two children. When Avram passed away, so he gave gifts to Ishmael and sent him away, gave gifts to his other kids, sent him away, and left his primary inheritance for Yitzchak. But when Yitzchak passed away, so both kids had the same mother, there weren't kids from the maid, Yitzchak's two children, Esav and Yaakov, they're both twins. So they both had equal rights, and therefore he left his inheritance to both. Lefichach amru lo chesed shnehem, and that's why we find that both did kindness with him. Shneemar, as the verse says, Vayikbu to Esav Yaakov banav. Esav and Yaakov went to bury him, and I think the Medrash is alluding to the fact that if he would have skimped Esav's inheritance, he wouldn't have shown up. Yaakov, of course he shows up, even if he doesn't get an inheritance. But the Medrash says that Yitzchak left over to both, and therefore they both honored him in burial. Amar Esav li Yaakov, so Esav tells Yaakov, bro, nachlok kol ma shemiach lanu aba lishnei chalakim. Let's divide everything dad left over into two portions. Vani borir, and I get to choose, shani abechor. I'm the firstborn. I gave you the rights to the double inheritance, but I'm still the firstborn, so I get to choose. So Esav tells Yaakov, let's divide, but I pick. Amar Yaakov, so Yaakov says to himself, Arasha hazeh, this evil one, lo milei no min haosher. He is never satiated, he's never happy, he hasn't had his fill of wealth. Shneimar, as the verse says, gameino lo tisva osher, even his eye, he's never seen enough. He could look at storage house after storage house of wealth, and he's always looking for more. Me'asa Yaakov, so what did Yaakov do? Chilek b'shnei chalakim, he divided the wealth in two. Kol ma sheniach aviv lechelek echad, he took all the wealth, put it on one side. Ve'etel tisrael lechelek echad. And then he said, on the other side is the rights to ultimately inherit the land of Israel. That's what I want. Those are the two parts. Me'asa Esav, so what did Esav do? He said, gee, this is a tough question. What do I give you? The rights to the land of Israel or all of the wealth? So, Esav didn't know what to do. He went out to get advice. Who does he go to? He goes to Uncle Yishmael. So, Esav rides out. Yishmael rode out to the desert and took advice. Esav rode out to the desert and took counsel with Yishmael. Shneimar, as the verse says, Esav went out to Yishmael. Amar Yishmael Esav. So, Yishmael tells Esav, what are you worried about? Right now, you have all these different nations living in the land of Israel. Yaakov's hope is that ultimately he will inherit the land. You want my advice. You take all the inheritance, you take all the wealth, and don't worry, Yaakov will end up with nothing. So Esav took all the material wealth that Yitzhak left over, and he gave Yaakov the rights to the land of Israel and the deed to the Maras HaMachpelah that he gave to Yaakov. And they wrote a contract, an eternal contract between them. Amar Yaakov le'Esav, so Yaakov tells Esav, lech me'eretz achuzati me'eretz Kanaan, please leave my land, my inheritance from the land of Canaan. Perakach Esav et nashav et kol ha'shalo. So Esav packed his wives, his children, everything he owned. Shneimar, as the verse says, Ve'elech el elch mipnei Yaakov achiv. Esav packed out to the other land from Yaakov. Uvishal shepinat kol kedav b'shvil Yaakov achiv. And as reward, as wages for the fact that he cleared his vessels, he cleared the way for Yaakov, his brother, nitan lo meh medinot misilva ad magdiel. God gave him, what the Torah records, that he had 100 cities from Seir till Magdiel. Shneimar, as the verse says, Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram, what's Iram? Zeromi. That's Rome. So Esav was given 100 cities, he was given tremendous strength because he cleared the way for Yaakov. Az yashav Yaakov betach v'shanan ve'elz Kanan. Then Yaakov sat peacefully in the land of Canaan, ve'elz molato, ve'elz megurei aviv, in the land where he was born, in the land where his father had lived, as the verse says, ve'yeshev Yaakov ve'elz megurei aviv. Yaakov settled down. Once Esav is out of the picture, Yaakov could settle down. Now, the Medrash really has finished the part of the story about Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov and Shechem and Dinah, and now the Medrash has to move on. What's the next parsha? After Parshas Vayishlach and dealing with the burial of Yitzchak, dealing with his children, with the wars, we come to Parshas Vayeshev. What happens in Parshas Vayeshev? The fights between Yosef and the siblings. The beginning of Parshas Vayeshev records that Yaakov settled down in the land of Canaan and he had a favorite son. So the Medrash is now going to deal with that, and I think we're going to pick up over here next time.